Don't math at me, sir. Don't math at me.
I'm having a thought. It's coming in clearly now.
The dad jokes stay in.
I call this podcast to order. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Ken.
And together we are
Notoriously Unreliable.
Ah!
Hey, what's up, Ken?
Hey, Ellen.
Hello.
You just kind of show up down here in the recording lair, and
yeah, well,
always unexpected.
I use shadows to travel.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, that explains it.
Mm-hmm. I just use darkness. So.
I took the stairs.
From, yeah, so from 20 stories up at sea level.
Yeah.
I just sense that there are shadows in this room.
Oh, okay.
And I teleport to them using my mind.
Oh, okay.
And I come out of the shadows.
So not exactly, not like a vampire where you turn into a swarm of bats or something. It's just, or mist.
No.
But a shadow walker, if you will.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can't really, like, there's a name for what I am, but, you know,
Ellen, I think.
Well, I mean, that's my name.
That's what we call you.
That's my name. But, like, the type of creature I am, like, it has a name, but I'd have to, like, rip out your uvula for you to be able to pronounce it.
Oh, okay. One of those, like, Cthulhu kind of
no,
unspeakable.
I am so tired of that guy. You know, that motherfucker, he owes me like $50.
Like gambling losses?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Oh, you know, 50 on red, right?
I'm dreaming under the sea. I think I know who is going to... I'm pretty sure I know who's going to cover the spread between the Broncos and the Raiders. But you know what? You know, just because you sleep under the sea and dream of destruction or whatever doesn't mean that you know how games are going to come out, apparently.
Well...
So, yeah. Pay me. Just pay me. Like, give me my money. You know.
Pay up.
Own. Yeah.
Pay up, old one. Pay up.
Stupid elder gods are always stiffing you on the bill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. And they never tip.
Never.
The
never.
Worst.
They're the worst.
Speaking of the worst.
You never want to try anything new. It's like, oh, let's go to Chili's again. Well, you know what? I'm tired of Chili's.
Yeah. Blah, 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 the old ways. Blah, blah, blah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of.
The worst.
Oh my God, traffic was horrible today.
Yeah.
It's like we had a stretch of like a week without rain.
Uh-huh.
And then it rains a little bit and people lose their fucking shit.
Yeah.
It was
gross.
It was awful.
It was really terrible.
So terrible. So I brilliantly thought, I really don't want to deal with this traffic today. So I decided to go to the local brewery that is near my office and have a happy hour pint while I wait for traffic to not be stupid.
Smart.
And definitely. But today they apparently had some kind of live band and like beer release party thing going on at the brewery, and it was fucking insane and loud as hell. And they had this raffle thing and the bartender couldn't like hear you like across the bar, like trying to order.
This is not the experience of the IPA.
I just wanted to relax. What?
I want an IPA.
What?
An IPA. Don't pee in here. The bathroom is in the back.
Yeah, it was awful. It was so bad.
Oh, man.
But,
that sounds pretty sucky.
Yeah.
But
it was a hair better than traffic, so I just went ahead with it.
Right. Well, let's see. Traffic or loud, but there's beer if I can get
there's
it.
There's beer,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Decision was made.
Well, yeah. So, round about 3:30 this afternoon, I was in Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, Vantucky.
Yeah.
How are things in the Tuck?
North Portland. you know, they're fine.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, as good as ever.
Yeah, I was having my eyebrows freshly waxed.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes.
Someone we know?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And,
I know exactly 1.0 people. Oh, okay, no, I take that back. 2.0 people that do that service in Vantucky.
Oh, there you go.
So,
there you go.
I was hoping it was probably one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, yeah. That's why my eyebrows look so sharp right now.
Very nice.
Yeah. Like a cut glass.
Yeah.
Which really wasn't the point. I wasn't expecting that.
But glass cutting is a nice thing.
Yeah, yeah. I just can't, like, touch them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very painful.
Mm-hmm.
I took a glass cutting. It was like a fair of some kind at my when I was, I must have been fifth grade or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this little make stained glass section where you could go and like they had pieces of glass and they marked them and you gave you the glass cutter. And I was told I had like perfect pressure and like. You know, good job, like, cutting glass. And I was like, you know, this is kind of fun. But then I was too young to, like, actually invest in any of the equipment or anything necessary to be a glass cutter.
Yeah.
So I've always, like, held that in the back of my head, like, all else fails, learn to cut glass. Make stained glass. Apparently, perfect pressure.
Well, so, there you go. There you go.
It could happen.
Well, you're...
Maybe it'll be one of my, like, retirement hobbies.
All right. Ken's working on another stained glass window.
Yeah, stained glass Cthulhu.
You
want
to see what I'm working out in the shop with? Yeah, here we go.
I think a great big stained glass Cthulhu would actually be pretty cool.
That would be kind of sweet. Yeah.
I'll keep that one in mind.
Or Rod Stewart.
Or Hasselhoff.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And something other German things around him. Like.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah. Tom Cruise.
No. Huge okay. stained glass. You got the, like, you got Hasselhoff.
Uh-huh. The Hoff.
And Burt Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
You know, because they both have, like, famous, well, like, Hasselhoff has, like, the old, like, oh, I'm in my underpants.
Yeah.
And then Burt Reynolds has the one that's like, oh, I'm naked with a dog in my lap.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I think you should go with that.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start a list.
You're never going to do that.
No,
you're never going to do that.
Never going to have a window big enough to really do justice.
You'd need a big window.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I found myself in Vancouver at 3:30 this afternoon.
Probably a bad plan.
So I used the old GPS navigation to get myself home.
Uh-huh.
Took 45 minutes.
Ouch.
Typical
would be what, 15, 20?
I mean, I could do it in 20. It's generally like half an hour.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
My zero traffic time from work to home is 28 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Today it was like 55 minutes, and I'm like, nope.
It's hard for me to say for sure because I've only recently ever driven up there when it's been in like in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, yeah, so it took me a while to get home. Well, it took 45 minutes like going through the GPS nav suggested like, back streets at like
here's an alternate route.
Yeah, it took me through like the weirdest, it took me on the weirdest route through the city.
Yeah,
just like, oh, turn here, go another quarter mile, turn here, take, you know, you're gonna be on this road for three quarters of a mile, turn here. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I don't even know where I am.
Where is it, like, where, how do the these parts of the city even exist? I don't even know where I'm at.
I'm in the fifth quadrant. Help.
Yeah.
Did you come over the you know, like the major bottlenecks, of course, are the two bridges.
Well, so actually, the bridges were fine.
Yeah.
It's just in Portland, the traffic was completely
true. Yeah, it was just bonkers.
In Vancouver, it was fine.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing.
I don't know what it was with Portland today.
I don't know. Well,
yesterday was just as crazy.
Well, there's like boats, right?
But okay, yeah, I mean, that's true. There's the sailors are entering town.
Yeah,
is going to be semen everywhere for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I
got a letter saying I was obligated to
cordially invited
go down to the waterfront and hustle sailors. It's like, how do these people even know where I live?
I know, yeah.
International.
Every year, damn it.
International Organization of Sailor Hustlers, local. Local 42069. What?
Oh,
I'm
going to
keep this business card.
Yep. Yesterday was shitty. Like, I just kept getting stuck behind people that were just dragging ass all over town. Just super dragging ass. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I have no idea.
It was one of those days where it feels like no one's trying to actually get anywhere.
Yeah, there was no rain, no nothing. It was like, you know, dry, relatively nice day. Maybe not even super hot, just like people dragging ass everywhere. Today,
maybe they were dehydrated.
Today, same but plus rain, so it was like awful. Yeah. It was just bullshit, unworthy.
Well, this last weekend
sucked
balls for like warmth because it was hot.
Yeah,
it was so hot.
Super hot.
I hated it.
Oh my God, we had to put the giant air conditioner in the sliding glass door. Because it doesn't fit in any of the windows in this house. Yeah.
I think, you know, honestly, at this point, I think you should just pick a window in your house.
You should just pick a spot in the wall, cut a huge hole, stick the air conditioner in there. I've been thinking about it.
It's not a bad idea. I was going to say replace one of your windows.
Yeah, I thought about that. It could happen.
It could, you know, I mean, not trying to tell you how to live your life. Run your house or whatever, but
do this, damn it.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I am glad. I mean, traffic aside, I do prefer this cooler, drizzly weather.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's super.
Especially compared to the blistering hot 100 fucking degrees we had over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did not leave the house.
No, like, it wasn't.
I stayed the hell inside.
Yeah, that was no good. That was no good. Basements are better.
We have air conditioning, but it doesn't. The air conditioning helps in that I'm not hot, but it doesn't help me with my
getting out of the house
summer insomnia.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what it is exactly.
It's like, yeah, it's, well,
even if it's air conditioned,
yeah,
and if it's hot outside, even if I'm in air conditioning,
I have a theory about that.
It's like I still, like, the air changes somehow and I can't fucking sleep.
Yeah, I have a theory because you know, typically when it's, you know, an average temperature, say we have a high of 70 degrees and you're like, you know, it's warm. It's not like hellish out here.
Yeah.
But then at night it'll drop, you know, 20 to 30 degrees. So you're talking like 40 degrees,
right?
40 or 50 degrees. That's pretty chilly. And so you like snuggle up in your blankets and everything. But when it's like, when the air conditioner is barely keeping it down to 70 during the day, it's like tolerable. Okay, 70 degrees. But then at night, it's still like barely keeping it down to 70. And you're like, this is not
cool off.
This is not warm up, like curl up in my blankets, cozy, all
like
cozy.
I wasn't using blankets or anything.
Yeah, it's like, so you're like, okay.
I didn't sleep for like 3 days.
Yeah, it's awful.
That was like miserable. Yeah,
it is awful. Like, and I totally agree. It's when it doesn't get really chilly at night, then it's like, I can't sleep. It's like, I have, like, you know, I have to have something on me, like a top sheet, like, is the bare minimum.
I used to be that way. Now I can go without anything.
Okay. I'm just uncomfortable without anything.
I understand. You feel exposed, and I get that.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I don't know, like bugs could land on you or something, I don't know what it is. I feel so much better if I could just pull, like, a sheet, any sheet, like, thin as can be sheet on top of me. But yeah, like if it's still 70 degrees, you're like, this is hot. I can't sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Heat. Heat is terrible.
Yeah. When it's cold, it's like, okay, warming up, lots of options. Like you could, you know, jackets, blankets, all kinds of things. But when it's too hot, it's like one option is air conditioning and it just doesn't get that cold. So it's
yeah,
nothing you could do. You can't do anything.
Can't do anything. Yeah. Yeah. I think the one time I could actually like counteract those effects was the place I was living. My roommate, we were in an apartment, and my room got almost no sun, so it didn't warm up that much in the first place.
Yeah,
and she had two air conditioners that were just huge, like one of these air conditioners cooled pretty much the entire apartment just fine. But we had one in each room, like in our bedrooms. Like,
yeah,
we had one in each in our bedrooms, and we would turn the one in her room because it was closer to the living room on full blast, and it would cool the living room and the kitchen.
Yeah, nice.
Just fine. Like, yeah. It was kind of like what you got.
Yeah. I got the biggest one that runs on normal human power.
Yeah. So, like, we had two of those for our
fairly
small apartment. And so I just had one of these in my bedroom for just my bedroom.
Yeah.
And, like, I could just get it icy fucking cold in my bedroom.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, it's like 90 degrees. It was 90 degrees today. Oh, still have to use two comforters. Darn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's so much more comfortable.
It's got like, it takes like gasoline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bonneville Dam, all the lights are dimming. Like, yeah. Zzz, kick in the auxiliary.
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Auxiliary nuclear.
<That's>
Yeah.
Yeah. That movie's great.
Yeah. That's one of my two Christmas tradition movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Die Hard and Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I dig a bad Santa every once in a while, too.
Yeah.
The end of that movie is so great.
It's
so great.
That movie is amazing.
It's so great.
I was like, this movie's just going to end on a super dark bummer. And then it doesn't. You're like, what the hell? Like, this movie's fucking just dark.
It's so fucking dark the whole time.
It's just, and then it's just like, but then it leaves you like kind of happy. You're like, oh, awesome, cool.
This actually works out pretty well.
This works out for everybody. That's great.
I guess I'll put a spoiler warning for it. Yeah, except for Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
Poor Bernie Mac.
Well, you know, if he had just done his job.
Yeah.
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 But he got greedy.
He got greedy. Mm-hmm. That's the lesson.
That is the lesson.
That everybody learns except for Billy Bob Thornton and... except for Billy Bob Thornton. Everybody else learns that lesson.
Yeah. there's one line in it. Oh, I'm not even going to say it. It's too horrible.
What?
there's a line at the end. Everyone agreed that the Arizona or the Phoenix PD shooting an unarmed Santa in the back on Christmas Eve was more fucked up than Rodney King.
Yeah, I don't know. That's yeah, I'll just put those in the same category.
Maybe cut that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie is fucking crazy.
Yeah, that movie is amazing. It's like Big Lebowski territory, like.
Yeah, except like way more disturbing.
Yeah. Oh, so speaking of movies.
Yeah.
There's this.
I thought you were going to say speaking of Christmas.
Speaking of presents.
Because next month is Christmas in July.
Speaking of shooting Santa. So there's this festival where they make short sci-fi films. And like 8 minutes, like super short films.
Okay.
Which is super fun. I love this. But they, during this festival, they made this computer algorithm, one of these learning algorithms.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And they fed it tons of sci-fi movies, just like, like this huge long list of sci-fi movies, like to train it.
Oh, okay.
And then they like seeded it with a couple of like a line of dialogue, one action, and the title. And then they just let it run and create a movie. And it apparently was not very good, but it like created some like direction, like this person delivers this line while standing and also sitting on a stair. And like, you're like, okay, well, it doesn't quite work, but it has I want to say Thomas Middleditch, who is the star of Silicon Valley. And he and it looked great. And I was today, I saw it on my feed and I was like at lunchtime today. I'm like, I'm watching this fucking movie. I watched this short movie. It's like, right. It's like 9 minutes long or something. Okay. I could watch the title sequence. But as soon as like action started happening, my phone was like, "Nope, not gonna do it.
Oh.
I'm gonna be a piece of shit brick." But apparently, so the filmmaker like took all these like conflicting direction and everything,
yeah.
Like you know, crossed out every other line or whatever didn't work, and like added tone and like stuff. So it's apparently really interesting, and I'm really excited to watch this. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, that
maybe
sounds
I'll,
awesome.
Maybe I'll post a link to it or something. But yeah. It's super awesome. But I love this idea of like taking something that like computer algorithms just like shit out and like turning it into an actual thing.
Well, so I have questions.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
First time, long time.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Right. So that you say they fed this AI sci-fi movies.
Yes. Well, scripts for a sci-fi movies.
Okay. Well, that yeah. was my question.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay.
Scripts. Like, do they? Does the? Okay. Well,
yeah.
It feeds it the script.
It doesn't actually watch the movies. It's,
yeah. Well,
it's
that's. Just, I mean, I was. Like, oh, fuck. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you seen that like Google thing where it like puts eyes on everything? It's a learning algorithm where you like feed it an image.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it like tries to do image recognition.
And trippy.
And, yeah. And then super like and
yeah.
then like backwards applies everything that it. Mm-hmm. Detected in the image back to an image again.
Yeah.
So it like makes an image out of the dreams of an AI program, but it's like all covered in eyeballs. It's just everything's got eyeballs
so
on it. It's
weird.
Like so super trippy, covered in eyeballs. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, it's like a computer taking an acid trip.
Yeah.
it's pretty great.
It's pretty amazing, like and pretty horrifying. Like if I saw yeah. that kind of shit when I was on acid, I'd be like, nope. But yeah, so this basically they feed it all of the scripts for these movies, and mm-hmm. so it tries to learn, it tries to predict what's going to happen next in the script based on all of this stuff that it's learned.
Right.
So that's how so when they seed it, they say, you know, this is how it starts, and then it uses everything it learned to try to predict what comes next in a script.
Oh, okay.
So that's the idea anyway, but
that's kind
and then it yeah, and they just keep running it.
Oh, wow.
Like it says, okay, this is what comes next, and they feed that in and say, okay, here's what's happening, now what comes next, and it just says, okay, this is what happens next. So and then it just like whoop, goes out and like spits out basically, you know, a pretty much nonsense script.
Yeah.
But it's based on like sci-fi stuff. So but they described it like they're like we think it's in the future and like and you know the title sequence, the opening titles, it says like this is our attempt at making this movie, because obviously computers don't know, like they don't have any idea of like, you know, scenes or
I don't know, maybe
framing or anything like that.
Like maybe the other computers read that script and they're like, dude, this is the bomb.
Yeah, probably.
This is the shit.
It's like computers.
We're
like,
gonna give
yeah,
this a computer just, academy
yeah.
award.
Yeah. A computer me award.
Well, I mean, I just like that's it's just cool that like people are even trying that stuff and like that's a thing that's even happening.
Mm-hmm. It is super cool. I love it. I love, you know, I have always had this kind of thing in the back of my head that a lot of creative endeavors really benefit a lot from having some kind of constraints that you have to work around. Because I feel like that's what drives creativity. It's like complete blank slate, you know, any ink, any topic, any pen, any brush, you know, it just leads to like paralysis.
You
can't
stuck,
do
yeah.
anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you have like, these are my four brushes and I have yeah. six colors, you know, do something, you know, then it really is just because of all these limitations, then creativity happens. So like when it comes to like, if a computer spits out a mostly nonsense script for a movie, that's when real creativity happens. Like you have to figure out how to make this, like how on earth do I make this like into something
yeah.
that makes sense? And that's creativity. I really enjoy that. Like, but anyway, that's my like bizarre theory on creativity.
No, I mean, I would have just said heroin.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But
yeah.
you know that
there are limitations.
We are children of the '90s.
Yeah. yeah. Kids in the '80s, it was cocaine.
Yeah. What? So what?
Adderall.
Adderall. Okay, and this decade?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I guess it's only barely halfway over, so hard to say.
I think we're back on cocaine.
Think it could be coke again?
I think we're back on cocaine.
Yeah. I heard of some places where you can get some bad coke around town, but
oh, yeah. <That's it. laughs> I wouldn't know anything about that, Ken.
So today somebody posted on Facebook something about, my smoke alarm gets set off by steam.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, here's some tips, you know, like cheaper smoke detectors that I have, like I have a couple of them down here actually. And they seem to be more sensitive, and it's probably there's got to be something about the components inside, like they just make them ultra sensitive because
right.
they're using cheap shit, so it's easy to trip it, which is, you know, probably good I guess in some cases, but you know, for anybody that cooks or takes showers,
yeah,
kind of sucks. And everybody's had one of the like oversensitive smoke alarms at some point in their life, I'm
sure. Oh yeah, I got a house full of them.
So I was like, oh, you know, I've had better luck with the like slightly more expensive ones that do like carbon monoxide testing as well as smoke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And thought, you know, I suggested that. And then somebody else came in right after me and was like going on about how you shouldn't have a combination carbon monoxide and smoke alarm, that there is something wrong with it. And that carbon monoxide's a heavy gas, so you have to have the detectors down low, and the smoke detectors you want high. And I was like, hang on a second, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, and the more I thought about it, like the more I realized, like this doesn't make sense. This can't make sense. This is dumb. So I looked it up, and yeah, carbon monoxide actually slightly lighter than typical air, so mm-hmm. would like tend to float up,
yeah.
and usually is given off by like broken appliances,
right,
which burn, you know, natural gas or propane or oil or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hot, so it also would tend to go up. So I was like, I mentioned that to the person, like, the density of carbon monoxide is actually a little less than typical air, and it should be hot, so it would go up. So I would expect up would be the place you'd want it, just like a smoke detector.
Yeah.
Combination unit actually kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they got so upset that I was like counteracting anything they said. And then they're like, they just like completely lost their shit and like kept commenting like how I was wrong. And I'm like, well, I'm not wrong.
Not
I mean, I'm
really.
Actually looking the facts up yeah. here. And I like found like Nest, the thermostat company. They also make smoke alarms and yeah. carbon monoxide detectors, and
right.
they have this page on their site that says like, shouldn't I put my carbon monoxide tester up or down low because carbon monoxide's heavy, and there's this whole article, and it just says, yeah, that's a myth. and it's wrong, and you should put the carbon monoxide detector up high.
You know what, Ken? I really don't appreciate what you're doing right now. We were trying to have a conversation on Facebook, and I was just trying to point out that you were wrong about something, and you just kept like nagging at me about it. And listen,
shooting your facts in my face.
I know. I know in my heart I'm right.
Yeah.
And when you know you're right, that's more important than facts.
That's the thing. Like, so at the end of this thing, I said, well, I'm sorry. It's just, doesn't make sense. That you know, what you're saying doesn't make sense.
All of the evidence points to you being wrong.
Yeah. And the other person said, I've got my story and I'm sticking to it. And I was like, what?
Okay. I don't know who this person is.
Okay, I don't either.
Okay. I would find it really hard at that point to not say something along the lines of, okay, good luck. I hope you don't die of carbon monoxide poisoning.
So here's what I came back with after that's my story and I'm sticking to it. I said, well, I think that... I think the objectively best thing to do is to read the instructions that come with your smoke detector and install it how it says it should be installed.
Yeah.
And they came back and said, I can't believe you had to have the last word in this thing. And I'm like, I thought I was posting something we could both agree on. You're like, oh no, my folk knowledge, which is wrong, is better than the instruction. Like, you know, somebody wrote those instructions, right? Probably an engineer. Probably the person who designed this thing.
God damn it, Ken. The thing you don't understand. Let me get real with you right now.
Shit.
I'm going to put some truth in your brain. The fire detector / carbon monoxide detector corporations are run by the shadow government.
Oh, shit.
And they want you to screw up your carbon monoxide detecting so that they can pump that shit into your house and assassinate you.
Are they related to big fluoride?
Yes.
Big GMO or...
All of them.
Chemtrails.
All of them.
Damn it.
And I tell you what.
The Illuminati.
Because they just want to pump that into your house and assassinate you, and your detector's too low to detect it, so you die.
Fuck.
That's what they want to do. Fuck. That's why, it's a conspiracy, man.
Fuck.
It's a conspiracy. I had, speaking of chemtrails.
Oh.
I was sitting on my porch one day with my roommates, and my roommate had a friend over, a couple friends. And I'm not going to remember most of what this guy said, but we talked about chemtrails for some reason.
Really?
Like, we saw them. Yeah, we saw them in the air. And I was like, yo, we shouldn't call them chemtrails, because when you say chemtrails, people don't take you seriously.
Yeah, and I so wish he, that was the problem.
And he listed off like six other terms that you could use to describe chemtrails. And my favorite one was high altitude aerosol injections.
Nice.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is the name of my air supply cover band.
I'm not in love. I'm so lost without you.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, air supply.
Yep.
MTV killed them dead.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame.
R.I.P. air supply.
In the 70s, ugly people could make music.
Yeah. As soon as you could see their faces. Wah, wah.
Whoa. I don't want that guy to be in love with me. Gross.
Ew. Oh, yeah. You heard any good music lately?
What I do a lot is I listen to the Steven Universe soundtrack. I just listen. Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah. There's an extended theme song that
I
listen to a lot. Yeah.
Nice.
It's like 3 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just kind of like, I'll YouTube Steven Universe songs, and people will have videos of just all the songs from the show strung together one after the other. And I just kind of listen to that. You're and like, yeah. I'll cry.
Totally.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I listen to my whatever music I have on my phone.
Yeah. I finally figured out the Apple Music radio station thing on my phone, which has been a bad thing for my bandwidth usage. In fact, last month we got dinged for going over. It's $15 if you go like one byte over your limit.
Jeez.
And then, of course,
that's why I got unlimited data, dog.
Yeah. See, good thing.
Yeah.
Last month we were just like right up to the edge on last day, and Hillary's like,
"Stop using your phone."
I'm gonna listen to the Hamilton soundtrack one more time off Apple streaming, and like, rap, $15. And now this month I'm like looking at the trends like, not looking good over our target so far.
Might have to bump up your plan.
Yeah, might have to bump up the plan. Bump up your plan. Bump it up. While that plan is bumping. Keep your music coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was really.
A lot just fell off the edge there.
Yeah. Started really strong.
Yeah. I was into it.
But I think we need to convince Sprint to hire Technotronic. They're not doing anything. Really.
What else do they have going on?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they're probably like cleaning a pool somewhere.
Probably.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
So, Ken, I noticed.
Yes, Alan?
Your beard.
Oh!
It seems especially sharp today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's probably because you got your contacts in.
That's true. Well, I was just wondering if you maybe, like, you got it trimmed.
Yeah. So, the other day, I was kind of, like, getting annoyed with the scraggliness that it kind of had toward the edges. Like, and I would trim it occasionally, but I was, like, always a light trim. Because I was trying to get a little more length on it, but it just was not getting longer.
Ugh.
It was just falling out at a rate that was like equivalent to the length. So it was just, that was the length that my beard gets. It does not get any longer.
Gotcha.
And it was a little straggly at that length. So I thought, I'm going to trim it down.
Yeah.
And I talked to Hillary.
Tighten it up.
Take a drink. A couple of times about it. And she.
Don't have a drink.
She, she was a little bit like, I don't know, and eventually I finally was like, nope, I'm done. So I trimmed it, and I think it looks a little cleaner anyway.
Yeah, looks good
around the edges, but I was this close to going back to the chops. I might still. It's so hot lately. If we have another run of like 90 plus degree days, I'd probably be like, yep, back to the chops.
Well, then, if you go back to the chops, you can bust out your Quicksilver t-shirts and board shorts.
Right.
That'd be great.
Those are from 20 years apart. My chops, Quicksilver t-shirts, 20 years difference. Which I think, if I understand this correctly, is how long it takes for trends to come back around in styles.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. You'll look,
it works.
You'll be rocking a 90s nostalgia look.
Yeah, totally. I'm into that.
Totally.
It'll work. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go back to what I was wearing in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, you've got like the cool Lord of the Rings shirt on right now.
Well, I do. it's really hard to find super baggy corduroys.
I don't think that is true, actually.
Really? Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
I haven't looked.
Because
I feel like
I don't want to wear.
I feel like if you just put your mind to it, you could get some really baggy corduroys.
Probably, but I don't want to wear pants.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
At all.
See, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's not entirely true.
The plot thickens.
Well, and this amuses me. I was thinking, like, it's not something I would have done at first, like, right after I came out as trans, because I wouldn't have been comfortable enough. But now I'm, like, I feel lived in and comfortable with myself.
Okay.
And, like, I feel like under the right circumstances now, like, if it were funny enough, I would go out and drag.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would
I was
be
thinking, like, a nice pair of slacks.
Yeah. That'd be entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. Amusing, to say the least.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
My roommate,
yeah,
one of them, was out of town this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So,
a little more able room.
I was hanging out with my 20-year-old roommate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who we don't, like, just hang out much, really.
No.
I mean, we live together, but we don't hang out.
Yeah.
So we were sitting around, you know, doing our thing on the porch. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just watching the people go by.
Uh-huh.
And I brought up a movie that I really like.
Uh-huh.
2005 Ridley Scott, Kingdom of Heaven.
Oh?
Yeah.
And I was I don't know if I've seen that one.
Well, I was describing it to my 20-year-old roommate. And Orlando Bloom.
Okay, yeah.
I dig
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. He plays a...
Make seven up yours.
Dude that lives in...
that's Orlando Bloom, right? Yeah, that's super Orlando Bloom.
No, that's Orlando Jones.
Oh,
I'm
Orlando
talking
Jones.
About Legolas.
Oh, Legolas. Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay, never mind.
So, he lives... Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
So no, Orlando Bloom.
Oh, Bloom, right. Okay.
Yeah. Elf
Legolas. All right. I know who you're talking about.
Lives in France in 1180.
Uh-huh.
And it sucks because it's like sucky times everywhere.
A lot of hate for the pointy ears and the bow use.
So, well, not to spoil anything from an 11-year-old movie. But things are not going well for him in France. Uh-huh. And so his dad, played by Liam Neeson.
Oh.
Before Liam Neeson, like,
he's gonna find you.
Fell off the
way
before Taken. comes along, is like, yo, you're my bastard son. I need an heir. You're gonna come to Jerusalem with me. And he's like, basically he's like,
I got nothing else going on. Okay.
All right. It's a little more complicated than that, but
sure
that's pretty much what happens.
Okay.
So, Orlando Bloom goes to Jerusalem and sort of like joins up with the regime there.
Uh-huh.
And, what's her name that plays Vesper Lynd in Casino Royale?
I don't know that movie well enough to know.
The female lead of the movie.
I don't know that movie very well at all.
Okay. You haven't watched Casino Royale 10 times like I have?
No.
Jesus Christ.
I've seen it probably once all the way through.
Okay. So, not Judi Dench. The young lady in that movie.
Moneypenny?
Not... No, Moneypenny isn't even in that one.
I know.
Oh my god. Okay. So anyway,
well, Judi Dench is M though, right?
Yeah. So no.
Okay, I know a thing or two.
I can't remember her name. So anyway, I can't remember her real name, but she was Vesper Lynd in Casino Royale. So she's in this movie.
Vesper Lynd.
Ed Norton.
Uh-huh.
Is in it. Liam Neeson, like I said, like there's a lot of really awesome people in it.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's like this 3-hour, just like epic in every sense of the word. Just it's awesome.
Yeah,
I love this movie.
Okay,
it's so good. And so I was describing it. I'm just like, yeah, it's like this 3-hour movie, it's, you know, all this stuff. And I was expecting, like, every time I've described this movie to people, because it is like, it's probably one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
Every time I've described this movie to another person, they're like, yeah, okay, that sounds great. Sure.
I don't know. I think it actually sounds good.
Okay.
I would totally watch this. It's got star-studded cast.
Yeah.
It's by What's-His-Face.
It's really well made. It's a beautiful movie.
I'm super into it.
But Jonah, my roommate, was like, that sounds awesome. Let's watch it right now. Really?
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, right. it's Saturday afternoon where it's just hot and we're not doing anything. So like,
it's Saturday night and the feeling's right. Oh, what a night.
All
right,
let's watch Kingdom of Heaven. And so we just start watching it. And like an hour in, he's like, okay, let's take a break. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, we pause it. And it's like 1 hour into this 3 hour movie. And he's like, whoa, I cannot believe this. He's like, is it too long or whatever? He's like, no, this movie is awesome. I just can't believe there's so much left. I'm like, yeah,
it's a lot. So much left.
Yeah. So then it turned out he had to leave.
Did not get the full effect.
So we didn't finish watching it that day, but the next day, we started watching it again.
Yeah.
Then
it's like when you watch those really long movies, like you watch Roots in grade school or whatever in junior high, and they're like,
so
this is part one, kids.
Right. It's only a 45-minute class. It's a 3-hour movie. It's going to take a while. So, like, we watched the rest of it the next day. I, unfortunately, I watched a chunk of it with him again. He finished it, so like he's seen the whole movie now, but like there was a certain point where I had to take a nap.
Yeah.
Like I had an
all night nap.
It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, I have to go lay down now. So I was not feeling well.
Oh.
And I woke up at 5.
Yeah.
So still a little dizzy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, is that wasn't today, was it?
No. Last Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a few days ago. But he watched it. He liked it. It's good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Orlando Bloom got made after Lord of the Rings, made a couple of those like epic movies.
Really?
Yeah, well there was Kingdom of Heaven, and then there was one with Brad Pitt. Troy.
Yeah.
Troy.
Ah, that reminds me.
Yeah. Brad Pitt was Achilles.
I was talking about seeing Hail Caesar a while back.
Oh, yeah.
Never saw it.
There's...
Damn it. Now it's kind of like in the black hole between theatrical release and coming out on like video on demand and stuff.
Yeah,
so
it'll pop, like you'll forget about it until it pops up on Netflix or something. Yeah.
Wait for it to be less than $30 on Amazon, whatever. The new releases on
$30.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's not $30. It's $20 though. Okay, it's like 20. For new releases on Amazon video on demand.
I'll do that very occasionally.
Yeah. It has its place, but yeah, it's not like an everyday thing. It's like,
I mean, if I know it's something I'm going to be watching multiple times, I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, especially since like what the typical rentals are like 3 days. So, yeah. If you think, like, I'm going to watch this, like, 2 or 3 times in 3 days, super worth it. But if it's, like, you know, over $15 and you're like, I'm just going to watch it once. Not worth it. Just wait.
Well, so, yeah, like, the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I got that, like, when it came out on Amazon for, like, you know, $20 or whatever.
Force Awakens. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I was like, I know I'm going to watch this multiple times.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Awesome. So I have this project. It's kind of this long, ongoing project that I've been working on for quite a while.
Okay.
Of playing through all the Zelda games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I had finished the original Zelda and A Link to the Past and The Wind Waker, and I was, like, slogging through Majora's Mask.
Oh, and, God.
That
fucking game.
I don't like it that much, and I was, like, really dedicated, like, I'm going to get through it at least one time. Like just once. I want to just do the whole thing once. I did use some walkthrough like help and stuff at times because some of the puzzles are just like fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
Like there's no fucking way I would have figured this out. You know, even the clues that the other characters give you in the game, like the clues that the game gives you are just so weak.
I really appreciate what they were trying to do with that game.
Yeah, I mean, it has some seeds of good shit.
Yeah.
Like, the time travel thing and how you have to, like, go through, and it's the same 3 days every time, so there's, like, this built-in time limit and stuff, which I did like that. I mean, I like the concept. The controls...
They didn't quite execute it.
The controls fucking sucked.
They do.
The graphics are... Yeah, I mean, they're, like, Nintendo 64 graphics. They're, like, not great. not the worst, but not great.
Yeah.
But like the controls are just so bad. and some of the puzzles are just like way too bonkers to like,
not enough
info.
I this was, I played, okay, Majora's Mask.
Uh-huh.
You're going to laugh at this. So Majora's Mask was coming out like way back in the day.
2000. Yeah.
16 years ago.
Yeah.
So I pre-ordered it so that I could get a gold cartridge.
Oh.
And waited in line at Toys R Us before it opened so I could get my gold cartridge Majora's Mask.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So
sorry.
So excited. And then I was like, oh, my gosh. And I didn't like it. And I bought like one of those big walkthrough books.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'm finishing this goddamn game. I'm getting all these dumbass masks.
Yeah, I didn't get all the masks.
I got them all.
I there were two in the end. I was like, fuck it. I'm just
going to get the Oni mask.
No, I didn't get the Oni mask.
Oh, jeez.
That's the, like, most
powerful
mask.
Even beat Majora?
I was surprised. I had like 7 fairies and the whatever special reserve milk, so you don't have to use magic or anything.
Oh, gotcha.
So I have like unlimited magic plus 7 fairies plus I had the like fairy sword, the like strongest sword. I got like all of the missing fucking fairies in the last fucking dungeon.
Right.
They have to like do all this crazy bullshit, like in the tower Icona Tower.
I don't know.
You have to,
I
like,
played that game exactly one time.
I went through the castle. I kept trying to do it on my own. I'm like, I'm just gonna do this. I'll you know, refer to the thing if I run into something hard.
Yeah.
And I did the first couple of dungeons. The first couple major dungeons,
yeah,
without looking at the walkthrough, and like could not fucking find all the fairies.
Yeah,
went back, looked at it, like, and then looked at the like rewards for getting all the fairies, or like shit you actually need. So I like went back through. You don't technically need it, but it was like, you know, super defense bonus.
Yeah,
like, here, this makes everything take half as much magic. Like, I remember getting these special powers in like Link to the Past or whatever, and it was so much easier to get these things.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Link to the Past is my favorite.
Yeah, Link to the Past, so good. So I went back through it. I was like, all right, I'm doing the last dungeon. I'm just gonna follow the walkthrough because I don't want to fucking go back.
Yeah.
And have to like dig for days to figure out where all these stupid fucking fairies are. And it's got like this whole upside down, right side up thing going on where you have to like hit these switches that make these chests appear on the ceiling. Then you have to like leave the dungeon, go back all the way through and like, you know, find the chest that you just made appear. And then leave the dungeon again, go back all the way through so you can get to the next thing. It was
too much, man. It's too much.
So much of a pain. But I was like, so I used the walkthrough for that. And then there are a couple of masks that are just like bonkers, impossible to figure out without a walkthrough.
Yeah.
And like you have to wait till the last day. You have to like do all these things in sequence at all these specific times. You have to be at the specific place, the specific time, and like pick up this letter, like witness this little interaction, and then like be there at the last day, like the minutes before the world ends to like pick up this like extra little thing.
Yeah.
It was so bonkers. Like, and so I didn't get all the masks. I was surprised actually by how easy Majora was.
Oh yeah.
At the end when I didn't have the like super mask.
Okay.
I had like 7 fairies and all this shit, and I was like, I probably could have done it without the fairies, probably could have done it without the like no refill required magic power thing.
Right.
I forget what it's called. Romani special reserve milk or something. I liked how they used like milk was like what they served in the bar.
Right.
And everybody acts kind of drunk when they're drinking milk. And there's like special reserve milk that's really expensive, but it's
milk.
Anyway, yeah. So I finally finished that, and I was like, all right, I finished it. I did not get all 20 masks, but I'm calling it. I'm like done with that one.
Yeah.
I had one
Wind Waker's up next.
Wind Waker's up next.
Mm-hmm.
And I dusted off my my GameCube over here, and turned it on, fired up Wind Waker, and pulled up and I had the save game that I had in there, dated in December of 2003, and I thought to myself, this game came out in 2003. I must have played it. I must have like had a month or two of good play in this game. And then my daughter was born and like never played it again since then.
Oh shit.
So my yeah. So I'm pleased to like get back into that and just playing that after after Majora's Mask.
So
the graphics
delight.
Are so amazing.
Yeah.
Holy shit. These are fucking this looks amazing. This game looks brilliant.
I love the Wind Waker.
I've been stuck on Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, which both for Nintendo 64, both have like both look almost exactly the same graphics wise.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, I think they just made Majora's Mask using the Ocarina of Time engine or whatever.
Oh yeah, definitely. And they reused tons of the graphics.
Yeah,
tons. But yeah, it definitely. So switching up to the GameCube has been like amazing.
It's a dream.
It's a dream.
Yeah, I feel like. In retrospect, Ocarina of Time is overrated.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay.
It was okay. It was okay.
But I don't think it was an amazing.
No, but I think a lot of people thought it was amazing though. And
yeah, I don't think it was. I don't know why. It has a couple of good things going for it. It was the first one on the 64 platform.
Yeah.
So it had like these amazing 3D graphics that they took as much advantage of as they possibly could.
Yeah.
They played it up hard as they could. It was a big game. It had
very
tons
big.
Of little side quests and things all over the place and a huge world. Some of the things were just dumb, but you know, for the most part, it was really good and big world, had a lot of stuff, tons of side quests. It was, you know, a big game. It was immersive.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, and at the time graphics were, you know,
it is
pushing
it
the
is.
Edge. Yeah. But, looking back on it, it's like, you can't help but notice like a lot of places where it falls short.
Yeah. Yeah.
The controls are exactly the same in Wind Waker and Majora's Mask, and
they're so frustrating.
It's awful. It's like when you swing your sword, you like scoot forward a little bit every time,
yeah,
which is easy to compensate for after a little while. But if you're like close to the edge of something, to jump, you just run at an edge,
yeah,
and then you jump. Except if you happen to not push the control stick all the way forward, he'll just walk up to the edge and then hop off. And just like straight down, right off the edge. And you're like, what the?
I did not want to jump into that lava pit. Thank you very much.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you must mean just walk up to the edge and just kind of step off. No, jump, you idiot. And then.
Or just don't do it.
Yeah, and then like there's this certain range when you attack, there's this like the certain range where it's like you'll hit stuff, but if shit is closer than that, you'll just swing your sword right through the shit and not actually hit it, and so like dudes will just run right up to you and you're like swing the sword and then whoop you missed it and like what I put my sword through it. The end of my sword is where the attack is, not like anywhere along the blade. And so it's just sometimes, man, that game so fucking frustrating at times.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I love Wind Waker.
I'm super excited to be into Wind Waker.
Yeah, it's probably number two on the list for me.
Yeah,
yeah. After Link to the Past.
Yeah, Link to the Past is great. I really like Link to the Past.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And I was remembering like people when the Wind Waker came out, people were so mad about the cartoony graphics.
No, I think it looked so amazing.
No, it looked really good, but people were mad about it.
I understand.
It looks like a cartoon. What happened to our what happened to our photorealistic Ocarina of Time?
It's a cartoon
yeah.
that you can play.
Yeah.
It
looks awesome.
Actually looks amazing.
Yeah.
And here it is. I mean, that game came out in 2003.
Yeah.
Here it is, like 13 years later. It still looks really good.
Still, it's so much fun.
They must have put so much work into it.
Yeah.
Really
fun, really great story.
Yeah, well, like, I never got that far into it when I initially played it, I bought it in 2003, and apparently I haven't, like, haven't revisited it since.
It's sort of like with the bright, cartoony, graphic-y stuff, like, mm-hmm. the story is kind of sad and dark.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's awesome.
Awesome.
I won't ruin it for you, but...
Yeah, well, if I get stuck, I'm going to use the walkthrough. Yeah. I remember at the time
That game isn't really one, like...
I remember at the time playing it that I got stuck on, like, I had to take a picture of something notable.
That sounds familiar.
And I just went around and I took pictures of every fucking thing I could think of that was, like, matched this clue, and none of it was accepted. That is my only memory of playing this game, the save game had 3 hearts. So, you know, if you've played Zelda before, if you have 3 hearts, you have, like, not played this game barely at all.
You have not played the game
yet. Yeah. So, obviously, I got stuck very early on.
Yeah.
But I believe at the time I got it, it was so new. There just wasn't any good walkthroughs or hints or anything could get online. So, nowadays, I could just, like... All right, I'm stuck on, you know, XYZ thing, and then there's, like, a walkthrough. It's like, oh, you know, here's how you do it. And then, okay, now I understand.
Now you can watch a YouTube video.
Yeah. Back in the day, like, when I was a kid, we had the original Legend of Zelda, and there was 2 quests in Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
And in the... first quest, I played through that with my friends, and we spent probably a couple hundred hours, like, finding things and, you know, working our way through it. You could use
completely unforgiving.
It's super unforgiving. You could use the fucking red candle once per screen. So
we spent the blue candle once per screen,
or blue candle once.
The red candle
you could use multiple times.
Yeah.
So as soon as we got the blue candle,
seven.
Yeah, as soon as we got the blue candle, we're like, okay, walk back and forth. Here you go. Okay, try that tree. Nope. Yeah. Back, forth, try that tree. Yeah. Nope. Try it back, forth. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That exact same
It took forever. Like, but, you know, we actually did find some shit. Some of it was like, pay me for the door repair charge. Fucking asshole. You don't know that until you find him.
Yeah,
he's like, here's...
Oh, God, and in the Master Quest, it's like, I'll take a heart container or beef.
Yeah.
Like, what the... Who buys beef? Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you're going into every dungeon with the bait.
Yeah, the monster bait.
You don't want to lose your heart containers.
Oh, my God, that was the worst.
I was like, you sons of bitches.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you, monsters?
Yeah, but, yeah, so in the second quest, there was this magazine at the time called Nintendo Power.
Uh-huh.
And although the particular issue that we were interested in was in back order, I called the number, like, 1-800 Nintendo Power or whatever, and ordered the back order that had the fold out map of the second quest of Zelda so you could find shit. And it was like, I had to, like, beg my parents for the, like, $10 or whatever to pay for the back order plus the shipping. But we got it, and, like, fucking figured that shit out. I don't think it ruined the game at all to, like, have the hints, though, because hundreds of hours just on the first quest to find everything. Like,
Well, I mean, really, it's not like The Legend of Zelda really has a story to it.
It's not a deep story. It's like,
no.
dungeon, big boss man, you win!
Yeah, and that's just fine.
Yeah, that's great. I loved it. I still love it.
Yeah, no. Legend of Zelda is one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I agree with that, hands down.
And Link to the Past just took what they did with it and made it, like...
Yeah.
Again, it was more cartoony.
It was very cartoony. Like the dialogue boxes in the I remember just like the first time I saw the Super Nintendo dialogue boxes and was like, wow, this looks like cartoons. Like, this is crazy. It's like a comic book.
Yeah.
And but you know what?
Wow, you can talk back to like,
yeah,
you have a choice of what you want
to say.
Just
to say things.
Instead oh man, of, that was crazy.
Do you remember Dragon Quest for the Nintendo?
I remember the Dragon Quest, yeah.
Early role playing game for the Nintendo.
Yeah,
and there was this great spot. You could pick what you say occasionally in Dragon Quest, and you would go to the, like you'd
game
start
was super hard.
It was hard. It was very hard. But you would start, and the princess sends you on a quest.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the main castle where the princess lives, and you walk in, and then it's like, you're talking to the princess now. And she would, like, spout off some long thing. It was, like, super long, boring speech that she gives you, and you have to, like, okay through, you know, a whole bunch of dialogue boxes. And then finally, at the end of it, she says, "Dost thou love me, Dirk?" Dirk is your character's name. And it gives you the choice, yes, no. And if you say no, she says, "But thou must. Dost thou love me, Dirk?" And then you're stuck. You have to say yes.
What?
And so the joke was always, you know, you'd say no, and she's like, "But thou must. Dost thou love me, Dirk? No, but thou must. Dost thou love me, Dirk? No, but thou must. Dost thou love me, Dirk? Okay, fine, yes." And then she says, "I'm so happy." And it plays this little song. And oh, shit. That game was hilarious. But yeah. Yeah. You get a quote choice, unquote, of what to say.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't want you to get stuck there. They just wanted you to like get stuck, you know. Here's a metal slime or
sounds
whatever.
Sounds like the end
like
of Mass Effect,
yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
But,
Never played that.
I call this podcast to a close. Please rate and review us on iTunes.
Our Twitter is @NotReliable.
You can like our page on Facebook.
You can follow us at notoriouslyunreliable.tumblr.com.
Or visit our homepage at notoriouslyunreliable.com.
Why not? Like,
the monster just, was the friends
like
we made
mob
along
of
the way.
Peasants. Pitchforks.
Yeah.
Check.
There you go. Cool. All right. Well,
need some more torches.
Listener, I implore you this week, eat a roast beef sandwich. Just don't question it. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Good night.